Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stutzer.
And hello, Daniel Lim, and our listeners at the New Churches podcast.
All right. Hey, so I want to today talk about tips on evangelism for post-Christian era.
I love giving tips. Just some top of the mind tips for you.
Okay. Yeah. And part of the reason we're talking about this rather than answering a question is because we don't have a question right now. So if you have listeners, if you're listening in and you're like, well, I want to hear about this, but I have a specific question about this, then send that in, right? Send that in, because we would love to answer your questions. Just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. But before we get into this, Ed, let me give you some context around why I'm thinking of this, and why our staff team at Beulah is thinking about this as well. A couple weeks ago, we at our board meeting listened to a 20-minute talk that Tim Keller did at the Hendrick Center, and it was from a few months ago. And you know, Tim Keller's Yoda, and he was talking about evangelism. And I mean, this guy was like, he was just laying it down, and just like, I can't summarize him or do him justice, but here's the quick points that he was sharing. He was saying, we've gone from the idea of truth out there to truth in here, and because the truth is now in here, old gospel presentations don't work as well anymore, because we don't all share that same furniture of, yes, we're sinful, or yes, God created the world, or yes, there's, you know, all the things that the old gospel presentations, you know, Four Spiritual Laws, Bridge, all depended on, right? Those assumptions, because the truth isn't out there anymore, it's in here. So what he said was, we have to instead, in evangelism, deconstruct and then reconstruct. We have to deconstruct worldviews and then reconstruct. And I was like running through my mind and being like, okay, I love Alpha. I love what that's doing. And it's, I mean, we're seeing hundreds of people. Like, I think it was like 700 people in our church last year, or through our church, went through Alpha. I mean, we have multiple high schools in our city that are running student-led Alpha. You know, all we do is we buy pizza. Our youth pastors are buying pizza and bringing it to the schools. So Alpha is working. But when you think about this from that perspective, it's like, what can we do moving forward, right? When Alpha doesn't work, when just like these other ways didn't work either, how can we deconstruct and reconstruct? So that's something that's been running through my mind. And I know this kind of sounds like a shameless plug for my new book, but that's not the heart behind this, because I remember talking about my new book, the one that comes out in February, You Are What You Do, and Six Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love. I remember talking about it to someone early on, and they were like, oh, Daniel, what you're doing, and I didn't have these words. He said, what you're doing is you're basically deconstructing the lies of our time and reconstructing it from a gospel perspective. And I was like, well, that's a pretty cool way to put it. I never really thought of it that way.
Way cooler than you put it in your book, probably.
Oh, completely. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, honestly, and I didn't really get excited about it. I was just like, oh, that's a really cool way to think about it. But when Keller said deconstruct, reconstruct, I was like, oh, dang, that's what my book's all about. So when Keller said it, I was like, oh,
that's so funny. And is your book called the sixth silver bullet book, or what does that work?
Yeah. So deconstruct, reconstruct. That's just one of the things that I'm just, how do we do that? So I'm just running through, as I preach at our church, as we do our evangelism, I'm just always thinking now, okay, what are we deconstructing and what are we reconstructing? What are your thoughts on evangelism in a post-Christian era?
Okay. Now, I think what I recall him, I mean, he might have said something different at the Hendrick Center. I'd be honest, I'm no longer at the place that I actually like listen to everything he talks about online like 15 years ago.
I mean, how many Keller tattoos do you have awesome. Now? So.
Exactly. Everyone knows I love Tim Keller. But here's what I think he's talking about. I think he's talking about deconstructing sometimes what he calls defeater beliefs. That people have, and partly deconstructing what they do. You think there has to be multiple ways to God when people around the world for, you know, thousands of years has thought there was a one way to God. What majority of people in the world think there's one way. may not agree on the way, but they think there is one way. How come you're saying it's okay that you think there's many ways? So in other words, I think that's the kind of stuff he's talking about deconstructing. If he's talking about what I'm thinking about. And so then, you know, so partly they have these defeater beliefs that cause them to kind of defeat the idea that Christianity could be the only way, because there can't be anything that's the only way. So you deconstruct that, and then you point to, well, then maybe there is one way. Could that one way be Christianity? That's what you got to kind of look at, and et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think he's right. I think that, I mean, in every generation, I think what Keller has said, every generation, every people has defeater beliefs. The question is, what are they? How do you address them? I would say a couple things too, in addition to, I would agree with Tim Keller, which is a phrase I say far often, more often than I should, but I would agree with Tim Keller. What I would add is, I think that it's going to require, you know, something called the Engel scale. So the Engel scale is kind of people can Google it, and it's kind of a famous, kind of a stair step, if you will, that people take to eventually respond to the gospel. So if you look at the Engel scale and you kind of walk through it, there's a whole bunch of versions of it. I even made a version of it, and it didn't really catch on. I called it the Stetzer evangelism journey, but you know, everyone wants to write a thing that catches on, changes the world. But in the, in the Engel scale, because people saying, is there a new Engel scale needed, whatever. Yeah. It starts with, you know, -8 is awareness of a supreme being, but no effective knowledge of the gospel. So that's like way, you don't have anything. And then -7 is initial awareness of the gospel. -6 is awareness of the fundamentals of the gospel. And -5, grasp of the implications. -4 is positive attitude. And then -3 is a personal problem recognition. You get it, right? So, and then, you know, decision to act, repentance, faith in Christ, boom, you're a new creature, and then goes from there. So that's kind of I think it's a helpful tool. So I think what people have to realize, though, is that, you know, when I was a new believer, and you got this distance between, you know, there might be people who had a grasp of the implications of the gospel. That's -5. They sort of knew what the gospel was. Some of them, in the course of a conversation witnessing, they'd move to -4, which is a positive attitude towards the gospel, right? So, but then you move them down that path. But today, they barely have an initial awareness of the gospel. So I think evangelism, it takes longer. I think we have to answer apologetics questions in ways that we didn't have to before. A lot of people just kind of assume that Jesus was real, that he... you know, he died on the cross for their sin, but they were kind of not worrying about that because they're living their best life and they're waiting until they're old to maybe receive Jesus. Well, then this moves ahead. Some sort of crisis moves ahead. So I think it's the difference is going to take longer, more thoughtfulness. I think more apologetics, as Keller would say, more deconstruction of where they are, because they have negative beliefs towards false beliefs towards the gospel to keep them from responding, and more. But I'm doing most of the talking, so you tell me what you think as well.
Yeah, I mean, so when you think about even the Engel scale, right, there's this idea of, in evangelism, helping people understand that they actually do have a belief system, right? Even if, let's say, they're on that side where they're like, oh, I don't believe in a God, and you would categorize them as like -8 or even further back, if there is even a further back, right? And they would say, oh yeah, no, I don't believe, or everyone's right. And you know, and they start talking about everything that they believe. The thing that you have to convince them of is that what they believe is a belief system. It's not like they are completely neutral and love everyone. That's actually a belief system. So one of the things that Keller was talking about in that talk, he was like, hey, secularism doesn't admit it's a faith belief system, right? So it was cool. He actually broke down what the belief system is for secularism. He says, be true to yourself. You know, that's one of them. Make yourself happy. Live however you want. Don't tell me what's right or wrong for me, right? And he's saying these are the pillars of this secular belief system that people don't think is a belief system. So that's the whole idea around us needing to point that out, deconstruct, and then reconstruct, right? Deconstruct and reconstruct around that.
I like that. And ultimately, ahead. So right, exactly right. And I think the there's a sort of sense, matter of fact, it was Chuck Kelly who said it. He's talking about my denomination. He said, we're a harvest denomination in an unseeded field. And harvest denominations kind of used to reaching near Christian adjacent people, evangelical adjacent people, who have an openness. Maybe their mom raised them in church or something. And that's a harvest people, right? They're used to sort of bringing in people in the harvest, but the harvest is, you know, it's ready. But now we're living in an unseeded field. And that's the distinction between the two, is that that unseeded field means that we got to recognize that we're going to have to throw some seed in places and ways through apologetics, through you know, lifestyle evangelism, through the apologetic of the community that is a Christian witness in and of itself. Newbegin saying it's the only and best apologetic of the gospel, so that they causes, it piques that interest, creates that question, that then the gospel can be shared that is the answer ultimately to that question.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So even when we think about evangelism, it's like, yes, there's programs. Yes, there's ways that we've traditionally done it. But Ed, you know, it's crazy. There's this huge apartment complex. It's this organization that owns apartment complexes, right? And they recently reached out to our church.
We call it a property company.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I thought you're right.
The organization that owns apartment complexes. This word. Yes. Very complicated. It's a very Canadian way to describe it. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, man. Okay. So they recently reached out to us because they were like, they realized that because of the isolation epidemic, if community is better in their apartment complex, people are more likely to pay rent on time. Well, and, you know, I know, right? So there are all these benefits that they're like, oh, so what can we do? We need to partner with churches and get a chaplain in our apartment complex so that, you know, we'll make their rent cheap and we'll pay them a stipend. And basically they can be the chaplain to our apartment complex. So like this is actually happening, and they reached out to us and they were like, can you help us with this?
Because usually you got to reach out to apartment complexes, but they see the breakdown and want something more. That's so great.
Yeah. To the fact that they would give you cheaper rent and subsidize, you know, give you a stipend and all that stuff. So there's just so many ways when we look at evangelism in a post-Christian era, right? We just have to be creative in ways that we can do life with one another. Yes, I do believe that there's still a role and a place for big events, right? Big events around proclaiming the gospel, but it needs to be in conjunction with that relational development through the people in your church.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, it does, you know, lead to some, you mentioned Alpha. I do think that new ways of doing evangelism, and Alpha's not that new, but it's really catching on in some places it hasn't before. And things like that, Christianity Explored is like that. The My Hope with Billy Graham's like that, where it takes people into their homes who can host and play a video and lead a discussion afterwards, and maybe is a little more effective than it was 10, 20 years ago, when maybe 20 years ago, you know, something was more effective that maybe is less effective now. So I think asking what are the new approaches that are impacting people is a good cultural question, and it's a good missiological question. And I think that we do see a growing sense that maybe having conversations at a workplace or at a home is one of the more effective ways to share the gospel in this decade and beyond.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in, and be sure to check out the 5 Leadership Questions podcast with Todd Adkins as well. I am not on that podcast anymore.
Have you been booted off that podcast?
Yeah, well, you know, Todd can't keep a co-host.
Well, you go off and go lead a mega church in Canada, people are just going to kick you off stuff. That's just how it works.
No, man. So, you know what, when you think about this podcast, recently he interviewed guys like David Platt, Ryan Myers, Louis Giglio. So just look up 5 Leadership Questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.